now, and the time is 7:31. CBS News Update. I'm Steve Kathan. They're singing and dancing in the streets of Baghdad and other cities in Iraq with the news that Saddam Hussein has been captured.
Saddam Hussein is currently under coalition custody and at an undisclosed location.
U.S. Commander in Baghdad, Lieutenant General Rick Sanchez.
Human intelligence tips, exceptional intelligence analytical efforts, and detainee interrogations narrowed down the activities of Saddam Hussein.
He was found in a farmhouse in Tikrit in what Sanchez called a spider hole. At the White House, correspondent Mark Noller.
The initial reaction from the White House is that it's a great day for Iraq. President Bush was informed a little after 5 a.m. that the information was firm. Saddam was in U.S. custody in Iraq. Now the president and his aides are deciding the way in which the president will address the nation probably within the next several hours about this important development.
CBS News Update. I'm Steve Kathan. And Bruce Hogovic here in the WCCO radio newsroom in the Twin Cities. As you've been hearing on WCCO and CBS this morning, Saddam Hussein has been captured. And again, as program reminder, our regular Sunday morning programs here on WCCO radio are being transferred to KCCO radio, our sister station at 9:50 on the AM dial. So if you're tuning in to listen to Fairview Healthwise, that's going to be broadcast shortly now on KCCO at 9:50 on the AM dial, as well as Your Money, which will be on at 8:30, and then the Sports Huddle with Sid and Dave coming up at 9:30. All those regular Sunday morning programs, the Sunday Morning Fair here on WCCO Radio, those programs will be broadcast today only on KCCO, 9:50 on the AM dial, so we can keep you up to date on the capture of Saddam Hussein. Bruce Hogovic here in the WCCO Radio Newsroom. Our forecast quickly calling for a little drizzle early this morning and then mostly cloudy for the remainder of the day. The high temperature reading about 30 this afternoon. And then tonight, mostly cloudy. The overnight low between 20 and 25. Tomorrow on Monday, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of light freezing rain or light rain in the afternoon. And high temperature reading tomorrow of 35 degrees. Now, tomorrow night, the weather changes into wintry fair with a 70% chance of snow. The snow may be mixed with light freezing rain or sleet in the evening, and then it will be windy as well, with up to 4 inches of snow on Monday night in the Twin Cities area and across much of our southern Minnesota region. The overnight low on Monday night will be 20 to 25 degrees, and winds will be picking up after midnight tomorrow night at 15 to 25 miles an hour. Then on Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of snow in the morning, and then partly sunny in the afternoon and blustery or windy again on Tuesday with a high of 25 to 30. So maybe up to 4 inches of snow in the area on Monday night. Right now in the Twin Cities area, we do have maybe some light drizzle yet here and there about the metro area, and the current temperature is 26 degrees. Our time right now is 7:34. Ongoing coverage on WCCO Radio, the capture of Saddam Hussein. Let's return now to CBS Radio News.
Now let's go to London and Prime Minister Tony Blair. Oh, I hope that's not going to be a tone on the line. Here he is. He's inside 10 Downing Street. Live statement from Prime Minister Blair.
We give thanks for that. But let this be more than a cause, simply for rejoicing. Let it be a moment to reach out and to reconcile. To the Sunnis, whose allegiance Saddam falsely claimed, I say there is a place for you playing a full part in a new and a democratic Iraq. To those formerly in Saddam's party, there by force and not by conviction, I say we can put the past behind us. Where his rule meant terror and division and brutality, let his capture bring about unity, reconciliation, and peace between all the people in Iraq. Saddam is gone from power. He won't be coming back. That the Iraqi people now know. And it is they who will decide his fate. And in Iraq today, we work hard. The coalition forces from 30 different nations and Iraqis who love their country and who work hard with us to rebuild Iraq, to nurture its wealth, for all its people to bring prosperity and freedom to those people. In the timetable we have established, power will be handed over to Iraqis to run Iraq. Now as a sovereign, independent state based on the principles of justice and democracy and the rule of law. And let us lay one myth to rest today. We have a common interest, coalition forces and Iraqi people. Our purpose is a shared purpose. Our victory, a shared victory. The coalition needs an Iraq that is stable and prosperous for the good of Iraq, the region, and the wider world. The Iraqi people, who were reduced to poverty and to penury by Saddam and his sons, they desire no more than to live in peace, to develop their nation's wealth, and to put freedom in the place of dictatorship. We're on the same side. And who is against us? The tiny minority of Iraqis who wanted Saddam back and must now know that their cause is a futile one. And assorted foreign terrorists who have entered Iraq, whose greatest fear is that a new Iraq spells the end of their vile campaign of terror and propaganda against the Arab and the Western world working in partnership together. The rebirth of Iraq is the death of their attempt to sell the lie that we are fighting Muslims. Muslims were Saddam's victims. Muslims today in Iraq, the beneficiaries of his demise. Let's remember all those Iraqis that died under Saddam. The remains of 400,000 human beings already found in mass graves. So this is a time for celebration, but it's also a time to look forward, to unify, and to reconcile. Our thanks go to the coalition forces and the intelligence services who brought about Saddam's capture. Once again, they have proved their professionalism, their courage, and their commitment. But let us give thanks too to those brave Iraqis who have helped in his capture, who in the new Iraqi administration, police, and defense forces risk their lives daily for the good of their people. They are the representatives of the new Iraq in action today. So now is a time of great opportunity. Let us seize it and use it for the good of the people of Iraq, for the people in the Middle East, and for the people of our world. Thank you.
Early on a Sunday afternoon in London, that's Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair confirming that Saddam Hussein's been captured and giving his reaction that it's good news, that it shows that Iraq can move on and be a new society, that now it's absolutely clear that Saddam Hussein is not coming back. That was live from London. We have a lot more ahead in our continuing coverage from CBS News. We'll have some of our consultants, some of our correspondents. Analysis and news from CBS. I'm Dan Revie.
And this is WCCO Radio, Minneapolis and St. Paul. 26 degrees right now in the Twin Cities area. Bruce Hogovic here in the WCCO Radio newsroom. Again, our program reminder, if you're tuning in to listen to Fairview HealthWise this morning, that program has been transferred to KCCO Radio at 950 on the AM dial for today only, so we can bring you ongoing coverage of the capture of Saddam Hussein here on 830 WCCO Radio. So Fairview HealthWise right now is on KCCO Radio. Your money, scheduled for 830, also will be on KCCO, as will the Sports Huddle this morning with Sid and Dave, Sid Hartman, Dave Mona. That begins at 930. That'll be on KCCO at 950 on the AM dial. 26 degrees right now in St. Paul, Minneapolis. The time is 7:41. Calling for a high this afternoon, about 30 in the Twin Cities area, and then a good chance of snow for Monday night. In fact, a forecast of up to 4 inches of snow overnight on Monday night in the Twin Cities area. Now let's return to CBS live coverage.
Saddam to the point where they had to hold the press conference and wait for the emotion to die down.
CBS News correspondent Lisa Barron, who was at that briefing, a senior White House official, calls this a great day for Iraq, and British Prime Minister Tony Blair just moments ago.
For those formerly in Saddam's party, there by force and not by conviction, I say we can put the past behind us.
Now that Saddam is in custody, U.S. interrogators will likely question him about how much control he's got over the insurgents who've been staging attacks on U.S. forces. Asked if he expected those attacks to continue, Lieutenant General Sanchez would only say U.S. troops will be ready if they do. CBS News Update, I'm Cammie McCormick.
At 8:42 on a Sunday morning, that's Eastern time. Yep, it's even earlier in the other time zone, so if you're just waking up, hey, that's news. We've got news. Saddam Hussein has been captured alive near his hometown of Tikrit. He was hiding in a hole. He may have been hanging around a couple of buildings not far from Tikrit in a rural area. The U.S. authorities say that they got some human intelligence. That usually means tips from somebody that Saddam Hussein may well be in that farm area. And so yesterday evening, Iraqi time, two farms were raided. Saddam Hussein wasn't found, but not far away, it was noticed there was a small compound, a metal lean-to and a mud hut. That was searched thoroughly, and what the military calls a spider hole was found. You know, a small hole, certainly very narrow, and it was bricked up. Well, they removed the bricks, and who's at the bottom? One man. The former president of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, at the bottom of a hole about 7 feet deep. The hole was apparently big enough that someone could lie down, and he went quietly. Not a single shot was fired during this raid. Two other Iraqis were captured. Saddam was found to have $750,000 in cash, $100 bills, United States currency, and also confiscated a pistol and two rifles. He wasn't well armed. There was not a gun battle. We turn to London and CBS News reporter Steve Holt. When you look at the details of how Saddam was captured, I mean, this is something that all the newspapers and all the broadcast media are going to just dissect step by step. But it's the result of months and months of work, Steve.
Interesting contrast, too, to the demise of his two sons, Uday and Qusay. Remember, there was a bloody, gruesome shootout, and then the controversy which developed afterwards with the coalition in its effort to prove to the Iraqi people that those two men were dead and gone.
Yeah.
Some rather graphic pictures displayed. Now, Saddam Hussein captured without a shot, we're told without injury. Those dramatic pictures shown at that briefing illustrating his gray beard initially, then it being shaved, the examination with the tongue depressor and all that, quite a contrast. And so I think, yes, the meticulous planning is apparent in the way it's been pulled off ultimately.
Steve Holt in our London Bureau. Stay with us. We're joined by reporter Philip Smucker in Baghdad. This matter of proof, of proving to Iraqis that something is true, in most of the cultures of that region, that's often a problem, right? People believe all sorts of outlandish stories, and the rumors are likely to begin one way or the other. But I guess this being Saddam Hussein, just about everyone will accept that.
Oh, yeah. What we're seeing now is evidence on the TV screens, and the reaction has been pretty resounding here in terms of people out on the street celebrating. And so it took some time for the death in a hail of gunfire of the two sons to sink in. But it seems to be sinking in a little quicker with Saddam Hussein because they have the bird, so to speak, in the cage.
What's your impression of the governing council that's been set up by the U.S.? The kind of man, say, Adnan Pachachi, who spoke at today's news briefing, answered questions like kind of an acting vice president of Iraq. Is it a real government? Does its authority extend to the whole country?
They're struggling for legitimacy. There are parallels here. Tony Blair himself is struggling because he supported the Bush administration in this unpopular war in Europe. Now, the government here is it looks like it's propped up in many regards. And the people I'm talking to want an election. Everybody wants a real election. And they're not quite sure that in 6 months when the U.S. is ready to hand over authority, that it's going to have the kind of authority that they want to see their own leaders take up. In other words, they don't even believe that those leaders would necessarily be Democratic-minded because they would not be directly elected. So there's a lot of questions here, but this is a feather in the cap, obviously, to the U.S. military, first and foremost. And then secondly, it does help everybody who's trying to win the PR game, including Tony Blair, right on down to the coalition government.
Let me get your take in Baghdad, your response to something I heard from one analyst, Warwick University professor Toby Dodge, who says, yeah, this is great for U.S. forces. They got Saddam Hussein. But keep in mind, there are, he says, 15 to 30 groups that had no contact with Saddam Hussein, who didn't depend on him financially, and have been attacking U.S. forces. And so those attacks are definitely going to continue, he says.
I was talking to a group of insurgents just last week, and they have very different views than you would imagine. I heard some analysts myself earlier in the United States saying that this was going to take the fuel out of the insurgency. I don't feel that. Because these Sunnis, for example, were talking about some leaders they appreciated in the Shia areas who were very anti-American. And so the anti-American flavor here is spread all around, and it's going to be really hard to dampen that down. Even if you do capture Saddam Hussein, which apparently has been done, then you're going to have to show that you're going to rebuild the country and establish some kind of democracy, a working democracy. So there's a lot more to be done to quell those fires in the countryside.
Philip Smucker reporting live from Baghdad. Hey, one other thing before I let you go, Phil. This Professor Dodge in Britain, he also said the Bush administration might be tempted now or in the coming months to say, okay, that's it. We have the beginning of a constitutional process. We've eliminated Saddam Hussein. You can put him on trial in Iraq. So, okay, we can pull out a lot of U.S. troops, and that might be for the sake of U.S. politics. That's what this British Professor Dodge is saying. What's your take on that, Phil?
Well, there's a great concern here that the promises of a new government are not going to come to fruition. I do think that there are a lot of people now that would appreciate the Americans pulling back into their bases, if you will, and Iraqis coming out to keep the security. The problem there is that the security forces that are being trained are quitting in big numbers. In other words, the Army, the 1st Battalion, 800 guys, half of them quit last week because they didn't feel the $60 a month pay was adequate. So these new security forces that would take over for the Americans are not really up and running, and nobody really expects them to be up and running for the next couple of years entirely in full.
Reporter Philip Smucker, live in Baghdad. Thanks a lot. We go back to London and CBS News reporter Steve Holt. You know, whatever happens, it does look like the British are on board. Blair still standing with President Bush. They talk a lot. The U.S. is perhaps the lead element in the coalition, but the British are definitely still with us, aren't they?
Indeed. This has to be a moment of just incredible relief for Tony Blair, probably right up there with the feelings that President Bush is feeling. The British Prime Minister has taken enormous abuse, among other things, for his position as a steadfast ally of the president and the Iraq policy. That has ratcheted up as the months have gone by. No weapons of mass destruction have been found with the deteriorating, difficult security situation there. Now, with the capture of Saddam Hussein, a huge sigh of relief can be heard emanating from number 10 Downing Street.
In London, that's CBS News reporter Steve Holt, part of our live and continuing coverage on what's turned into a big news day on this Sunday morning. Yeah, it's early, and you may be just waking up into big news. So we'll wrap it all up for you in the seconds ahead. This is CBS News continuing coverage. I'm Dan Revive.
CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti. Saddam Hussein now apparently really history. British Prime Minister Tony Blair minutes ago in London confirming Saddam's capture.
Saddam is gone from power. He won't be coming back. That the Iraqi people now know.
Do they ever know it? Those celebrations breaking out around the Iraqi capital. So how did U.S. forces get the Ace of Spades?
This was done during a cordon and search operation at a remote farmhouse near the city of Tikrit.
Tikrit, of course, the heart of Saddam Hussein's tribal stronghold. That is Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez. He's the U.S. commander in Iraq.
The capture of Saddam Hussein is a defining moment in the new Iraq. I expect that the detention of Saddam Hussein will be regarded as the beginning of reconciliation for the people of Iraq and as a sign of Iraq's rebirth. Just as importantly, this success brings closure to the Iraqi people.
No formal presidential statement yet, but President Bush has been fully briefed.
First word that Saddam may have been captured reached President Bush yesterday afternoon at Camp David in a phone call from Defense Secretary Rumsfeld. Mr. Bush was back at the White House early this morning when he was informed a little after 5 a.m. that the information was firm, Saddam was in custody. The White House response this morning is, it's a great day for Iraq.
White House correspondent Mark Noller, and again, former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein now in U.S. custody. CBS News update, I'm Tom Foti.
And Bruce Hogovic here in the WCCO Radio Newsroom in the Twin Cities. Our temperature reading 26 degrees right now in St. Paul, Minneapolis. If you're tuning in for the regular Sunday morning programs here on WCCO Radio, this reminder, those programs have been taken over to KCCO Radio. We are carrying those Sunday morning programs on KCCO at 9:50 on the AM dial. Right now, Fairview Healthwise is on the air on KCCO Radio. And the forecast calling for a high this afternoon, about 30. A little drizzle this morning, that should be ending. And then mostly cloudy this afternoon. And then tomorrow night, Monday night, a 70% chance of snow with up to 4 inches of snow forecast for overnight on Monday night in the Twin Cities area and across much of the southern part of Minnesota. Our time right now is 7:52 as we continue with our live continuous coverage of the capture of Saddam Hussein. This is WCCO Radio.
And at one point, Dan Rather was asking Ford, Jami, whether there was some indication, and it did come up at the briefing in Baghdad, whether Saddam may have been turned in by his second wife. Here's our consultant, Professor Ford Ajami.
Right at the end of the news conference was a question, well, as you translated, it was basically a question to Bremer and Sanchez, did Saddam Hussein's second wife turn him in? What's that about?
Well, here, it's this great defining moment we know, and we always said Saddam is worse than Hitler, but if Hitler killed himself in his last bunker with Eva Braun, this man was turned in possibly by his second wife, and he never fired a shot. So I think this is a great moment for the United States, it's a great moment for the Iraqi people, and it calls into question the legend of Saddam Hussein in a region and a country that you've covered, which is susceptible to legend. The man didn't resist, and the man turned himself in, and he's arrested. It's not quite the ending that this man would have told his followers he had in mind.
How does this affect the rest of the Middle East? How does it affect the United States standing in the region and the world?
I think this is a fundamental question. It's about our credibility. We hunted down Osama bin Laden and he disappeared on us. He became a shadow, taunting us. We went into Iraq and Saddam Hussein taunted us and disappeared for several months. We now get him. It's really about the credibility of American power. And in a highly personalistic culture, as you said at the beginning, you can't just wage a war and then leave the man in place or have him taunt you and have him, in fact, leave open the possibility that he will come back to power. In the Sunni triangle where he was captured, among his own kinsmen, there were people who genuinely believed that he will come back to power. He will outstay us. We will leave, he will return, he will punish everyone who was his enemy.
He would outlast us.
Absolutely. And this brings it, need we use the great American term, closure? There is closure here.
And that's Fuad Ajami, a professor and one of our CBS News consultants on the Middle East. That idea of closure, let's turn to another CBS News consultant, another professor, Raymond Tanter. Closure, it takes longer than that. You get the sudden news, you get the bulletin, and then it's confirmed by U.S. authorities that Saddam Hussein has been captured alive, but there's so much more to learn. What's he going to say? Is he really cooperating with interrogators? Ray, what should we look for?
Well, Ben, we have to look for what Saddam was doing on various key dates. On March 19th, on April 9th, March 19th when the war started, April 9th when his statue was toppled, and May 1st when main military combat ended, and now December 13th. We want to set up some kind of a timeline in order to learn where he was, who took care of him, and what kind of control he had over the insurgency then.
Well, a lot for interrogators to find out. That's Raymond Tanter, a CBS News consultant. Let's go to our White House correspondent, John Roberts. He has some details of how President Bush was informed of Saddam Hussein's capture. Here's John Roberts. Oh, don't seem to have that connection. Sorry about that, and I apologize. We'll obviously have all those details for you in our news at the top of the hour, and that's only about 4.5 minutes away. Let's turn to CBS News consultant Pamela Falk. When you think about the foreign affairs part of this story, Saddam Hussein being captured, it's not just something for the U.S. and British to feel great about. We already have the French reaction. But did you also detect Chirac's adding an extra spin? He says now this really can lead to the Iraqis ruling Iraq themselves.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to see an increased internationalization of this conflict. And we did, in a real sense, with unanimous vote at the United Nations for the rebuilding of Iraq. There, the countries that were denied these rebuilding contracts obviously are feeling somewhat burned. And there is a real sense of now coming back into the fold and saying, we always thought Saddam Hussein was a bad person, and now it's time to democratize. So I think we'll see a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon. There is no question that other countries want to be involved now.
Pamela Falk, sorry I want to interrupt, because we do have that report now from Chief White House Correspondent John Roberts.
People here at the White House, officials of the administration, are absolutely elated by this news. The official line out of the White House this morning is that it is a great day for Iraq. Senior administration officials tell CBS News that the president was first informed about the potential capture of Saddam Hussein yesterday afternoon while he was at Camp David at the retreat up there in the Catoctin Mountains in Maryland. It was the Secretary of Defense who made that call. Donald Rumsfeld also calling the vice president as well. Other senior administration officials as well as cabinet members. President Bush was kept informed throughout the afternoon of the developments and the fact that DNA tests were underway. This morning, just after 5 o'clock, he received a phone call from his national security advisor, Condoleezza Rice, who said, Mr. President, it looks like we can confirm that there's a strong indication that we have Saddam Hussein. The DNA tests have come through, and it shows that there is a high probability that it is him. Now, the White House, for the moment, is laying quite low. President Bush is the type of person who likes to give credit where credit is due, and so he has allowed the Coalition Provisional Authority, led by Paul Bremer and General Sanchez, to make the official announcement. But the White House is consulting right now. All of the officials who would be involved in this are here at the White House this morning. They're consulting with the president about what his response should be. And it's expected that we are going to hear from the president a little bit later on today. The format yet to be decided, whether or not it will just be a statement to cameras or whether it will be an official address to the nation, perhaps from the Roosevelt Room, maybe even the Oval Office, given the importance of this capture.
CBS News Chief White House Correspondent John Roberts. Did you think you heard rain and snow? Yep, on the White House lawn. Doesn't snow that often in Washington, D.C., but today is kind of a landmark day. It is snowing. Several inches have come down. Doesn't make conditions any easier, but President Bush got back to the White House last night from Camp David, Maryland. And as you heard, we expect to hear from Mr. Bush. We turn to CBS News military consultant, retired Major Mike Lyons. The tactical details here, some 600 soldiers going to one, you know, kind of one area and to search two farms. Sounds like a lot of, I assume, men involved.
A lot of men, but again, the mission of cordon and search requires that level of manpower to keep the target from escaping. What the worst possible situation would have happened if they had gotten there 5 minutes late and allowed, there was evidence that Saddam had escaped from that area. So that's why, in particular, they bring a large amount of firepower and men to this kind of situation.
Well, you fought there in the Persian Gulf era. You can probably imagine. What sort of search do you do that ends up discovering a so-called spider hole on the floor of a mud hut?
A little bit of luck, a little bit of looking at the evidence as it goes around. They might have had intelligence that showed there was certain kind of heat sensors coming from that location. So, you know, a lot of things that came into that situation, but maybe just a good old-fashioned luck from the U.S. soldier on the ground there.
But chances are the special forces might well have some sort of heat detection equipment.
It's likely, and they would have used that to just confirm, really, at any point.
He was in a hole, it turned out. A 7-foot-deep hole. That's CBS News military consultant, retired Army Major Mike Lyons.
This is WCCO Radio, Minneapolis-St. Paul, 26 degrees right now. You're listening to continuous live coverage of the capture of Saddam Hussein. It's now 8 o'clock. CBS News, I'm Steve Kathan. A boisterous scene in the streets of Baghdad now that Saddam Hussein has been captured.
Saddam Hussein, the captive, has been talkative and is being cooperative.
U.S. Commander Lieutenant General Rick Sanchez, who says it was a raid on a farmhouse outside Tikrit that uncovered the elusive dictator. More from Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
They came upon a small compound, and in that compound was a mud hut.
There was in the compound what General Sanchez described as a spider hole, just a very small opening in the ground. It was about 6 to 8 feet deep, and at the bottom of that hole was Saddam Hussein.
CBS News reporter Lisa Barron covered the briefing where details of the capture came out.
They showed a short video of what Saddam Hussein looked like when he was caught in that 6 by 8 foot hole in the ground that he had been hiding in. They showed us a video of Saddam with black and white curly hair, you know, essentially down to his shoulders, a long black and white beard, looking haggard and tired, and at the same time having his mouth examined by an army doctor, sticking a light in his mouth. Obviously a very uncomfortable position for Saddam.
And for President Bush, it's the best possible news. Live to the White House and correspondent Mark Noller.
Steve, no reaction as yet from President Bush, but a spokesman calls it a great day for Iraq. It's the development the administration has been hoping for in the belief it will help defeat Saddam loyalists who have continued to attack coalition forces and others in Iraq. Mr. Bush was at Camp David yesterday afternoon when he got first word that Saddam may have been captured. He was back at the White House at 5 this morning when the capture was confirmed. A statement from Mr. Bush is expected before long. Steve.
There's been a big thumbs up from America's top ally in Iraq, Great Britain, and Prime Minister Tony Blair.
Saddam is gone from power. He won't be coming back. That the Iraqi people now know. And it is they who will decide his fate.
And in fact, a top Iraqi official says Saddam Hussein will be put on trial. His capture comes 8 months after he fled the fall of Baghdad.